Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View and thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be together until 10 today. My name is Pimelo Modene and we've got lots coming up on the show today. We are going to be speaking to an organization that conducted a study with the University of Tshwane, and they really want to look at, you know, what makes it difficult for civil servants to carry out their duties. It has to do with technology and how some of the systems that they're using needed to be upgraded. It was a combined effort with other civil society activists as well. So we'll talk about the research, which speaks directly to technology, what kind of technological improvements need to be implemented to try and get efficiency out of some of the work that civil servants are doing. So really, really interesting outcomes. We'll have a look at that. But really, the story of the day today is, and I'm sure you were all waiting yesterday when all of us were waiting for the response from the ANC to tell us how that meeting went, that started, we believe, at 10 o'clock. And today, the Secretary General of the ANC gave a press briefing, but we are going to be speaking to ANC spokesperson, Ms. Mahlengi Bengu Mutsiri, who is on the line with us this evening. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thanks, Pimelo. Good to be here.
I can tell you now, all of us were waiting with bated breath yesterday to hear how the working committee meeting went. And obviously, clearly, the Secretary General gave us an update on where the party position is. And let me ask you this. Going from today, what then becomes a process? Is the party now consulting with all the political parties, as the SG said, even outside of the GNU?
Precisely. In fact, I can confirm that those negotiations are taking place as we speak. Those are taking place in Parliament that are led by our Chief Whip, who was leading the ANC caucus there. The president is also in discussions. In fact, he's meant to be meeting the leaders of all political parties in his capacity as the head of state. On the part of the ANC, we have commenced with the negotiations with all other parties that are represented in parliament, not only limited to the GNU. And that work is currently underway. We've set ourselves a deadline of 5 days to conclude these negotiations, and also to be dutiful to the commitment we made to the parties that supported us, such as Action SA, to continue to negotiate with them on finding alternative revenue streams in order to offset the need for a 0.5 VAT hike.
And I think for me, that's the nub of the issue. When you listen to Action SA very carefully, they seem to be saying, no, you didn't promise the fact that you are not going to, we are not all going to be facing a VAT hike. What the ANC promised to them is a commitment to explore the revenue alternatives. Obviously, this is what I think everybody wants. The SG said to us, you have a proposal on the table, you're just not going to tell us what the proposal is. But is the sense we should be getting from you is that there is a possibility that actually there could be consensus with this process of negotiation that we actually don't see the 0.5% VAT hike, albeit the fact that we all understand that 1 May will have to proceed. But is what you are putting on the table a possible 0.5 VAT increase sort of scrapped off our radar?
As the ANC, of course, we've got our negotiating position, like any other parties getting into negotiations. What we are open to is National Treasury, who are currently doing that, reviewing the budget proposal, identifying areas that can enable us to find more money to avert the 0.5 VAT increase. That is the ANC we are committed to. And that team at Treasury, led by Minister of Finance, is doing exactly that, which means when parties are negotiating, I'm sure there will be various permutations. And whatever the final decision is going to be, I'm sure it will have been a product of a very robust negotiating of positions. You know, the Democratic Alliance says they have a lot of submissions to the ANC about how to grow the economy and how to deal with the budget. We will await that. We will be meeting with the Democratic Alliance in a not-so-distant future.
Does it mean that these proposals were not offered to you beforehand, before the fiscal framework vote?
It is alleged that they were offered to us. I can say that they were largely offered to us through the media. And also those proposals, are most of them are already in the process of being under, being implemented. They come from successive ANC administrations, some of those proposals that they refer to. So maybe the best question to ask, Temelo, is... getting a sense of what is the DA's overall economic policy looked at against the current challenges that we have of the economy. Some of the proposals they refer to have nothing to do with the budget. They belong, they are in the realm of policy making. So wanting to negotiate a budget by negotiating for deals related to power sharing, and also acting as though you are in opposition when, in fact, you are part of the executive, you are represented in cabinet, you have ministers who took an oath to serve the people of South Africa, not the DA. The same organization goes to court to litigate the budget that they are supposed to implement. No matter the differences around the VAT increase, to which we as ANC, we strongly believe that in fact the DA is not in support, judging by how they... Hello?
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so we are not, we don't believe that they're actually, they're being truthful in so saying they are opposed to the VAT increase. Mm. They were willing to negotiate the VAT increase. So I think the focus should be to look up to the negotiations that are coming up this week. And I'm certain that sometime during this week, we're going to start seeing where this process is going.
Can we ask you in confidence? Because I think there is this playing of I don't know, politicking in the gallery, in the media space, where we are not sure. When we listened to Helen Ziller, federal chair of the DA, she made mention of the fact that some of these allegations are allegations that are made up by us, the media, that there's no such thing, that they never brought to the table other policy matters except for VAT. You're saying, well, that's not what happened, and we're hearing others as well saying that. You know, apart from the cabinet meeting and the clearing house that happened, did you and the DA, the ANC and the DA, sit and discuss the proposals before the minister tabled his budget?
The process of budget making is a very comprehensive, extensive process as well. And the DA had been consulted. I have it on record.
Yes.
They have been consulted about budget policy proposals. And in fact, they went to the media to talk about what was discussed at cabinet, which is actually illegal. You don't do that unless authorized to divulge resolutions of cabinet. So what am I saying? I'm literally saying that the proposals that they talk about, most of those proposals have been canvassed through the media. Mm. What they don't mention to the media are their demands regarding land reform, and the need to scrap the recently enacted Land Appropriation Act. What they don't mention are that the proposals have to do with challenging the NHI Act and so on. What they don't mention are proposals related to giving more power to our ANC, the DA's, sorry, deputy ministers, particularly the one in finance. And and to say that they must be given more power in addition to the delegations of authority that they've been given by the president. So these are the people that want more from within government and continue to act like they are in opposition.
Did any of that get negotiated, or was it completely just taken off the table?
Well, let me indicate that the president and Mr. John Steyn-Naysen are always in constant contact, including about those reforms.
Mm.
In his capacity as president of the ANC, as well as head of cabinet. So that's the one aspect. The
okay.
second aspect, we are in constant discussions with the DA in parliament, because we do consult, we consulted them extensively, even about this budget, as well as the VAT issue.
Going forward, as you said, there will be negotiations with all political parties that are interested in having a conversation with you. Have you scheduled a separate conversation with the DA dealing with not just the VAT matter, but the tensions within the GNU and their involvement in the GNU?
Yes, we are scheduling that meeting. And of course, one of the discussions with the DA, which is different from other parties,
yes.
is a conversation about asking the DA to explain to South Africans how is it that they can go to court to challenge a budget that they are meant to implement, because they are ministers of the DA in cabinet,
mm.
they are deputies of the DA. So that is one of the things that are going to be quite sticky for the DA to explain exactly how they want to stay on in the government of national unity when they've gone to court to challenge a budget that is required in order to implement service delivery and take our country forward.
If the court ruling is in their favour, I heard the SG say, well, we'll challenge it and we'll take it all the way. Could this also not be an opportunity for the ANC, and not just the ANC, all of us, to review some of the policies that sit and maybe have a look at, you know, what the law says, and maybe there is room, or there's meant to be room for us to assess it and maybe shape it better?
No, certainly. You know, the fact of the matter, I mean, we don't know what the court outcome is going to be, but the fact of the matter is that how National Treasury processes the budget and how Parliament processes the budget is enacted in a law. So they are basically going to challenge that law. Now, we don't know what the courts are going to say, because we have case law, as an example, in respect of things such as this one. In most cases, the law will just say, go back to Parliament and review the list that you can do. And of course, South Africans should be open, including the ANC, should be open to a conversation that says, let us look at the delegation of authority that the Minister of Finance has. Let us look at the budget-making process in its totality. Let us look at public participation in respect of the budget, whether it's sufficient or not. And I think this has raised into sharp focus the need for increased citizen involvement in the budget-making process.
And so you've said you've given yourself 5 days to air all of this out. And we obviously are running out of time. The 1st of May is also looming. Beyond that point, what happens?
So beyond that point, we will obviously await National Treasury. We present through the minister options that are available, proposals that are forwarded by parties such as Action SA, BOSA, will be considered in good faith.
Mm.
So, you know, I've been saying, let's perhaps just allow that process
sure.
of negotiations to unfold.
Apart from whatever explanation and negotiations we'll have with the DA around the tensions, and as you said, their explanation on why they voted against the fiscal framework, which they're supposed to be a part of when they implement the budget, apart from that, if they continue to vote against the other money bills that are coming up, what then? Will you then be pushed to ask them to leave the GNU?
I'd imagine at that point, the ANC will have to convene and make an assessment. The option of them leaving the GNU, or the option of them pushing themselves away from the GNU through such actions, I'm sure that permutation will be considered. But, you know, we're not there at the point where we set conditions or we make threats. We have had enough of the threats coming from this party. In fact, the question that South Africans should be asking, the DA said if the Appropriation Act is enacted, assented to by the president, and when the budget, fiscal framework is passed, they will leave the GNU. But the You know, just now they say no, they are committed to the government of national unity. It is the DA that owes South Africans an explanation about their back and forth, whether they are the opposition or whether they are part of finding solutions to the challenges that are facing our country, including financial or budget-related solutions about how to ensure that our expenditure finances progress, transformation and development, and how do we work together to get more revenue sources in order to be able to ensure that what the president delivered in the State of the Nation address is, and where the DA stood up and gave him a standing ovation, that all of those commitments, that they get the budget to finance those commitments.
How favorably are you looking at the Action SA's proposal?
I think, as you know, just to acknowledge Action SA and BOSA, those are the parties that say, I would say, took the interest of our people, the interest of the nation at heart when they decided to help the ANC pass the fiscal framework. However, their proposals now have got to be subjected to some tests and some science. Mm. And we must say that those proposals also are being looked at by the team at National Treasury.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. We'll take that. We'll take that. I really appreciate you taking us through your considerations as the ANC spokesperson, Mahlengi Bengu Mutsiri, just giving us their take there. And obviously, this is on the back of a press briefing given by the SG of the ANC earlier on. I will play you a clip by Stian Hazen, his response to that press briefing. But I do want to afford Action SA leader an opportunity to also weigh in, Herman Mashaba. Dr. Mashaba, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Yes, good evening, Pamela, and good evening to Kaya listeners.
Have you had a meeting with the ANC since yesterday? We are told that they're busy now, reaching out to everybody. And my subsequent question to you is that, is it feeling warm? Does it feel like you're getting closer to one another?
Well, we got closer to one another when we gave them this proposal just over a week ago, a few days before the sitting of the Standing Committee on Finance. And as far as we are concerned, including having discussions with them today, and we are still on the same page. We believe we're still on the same page.
You know, on a serious note, when I ask about feeling warm, they are saying that they themselves have worked on a proposal to try and, explore revenue alternatives. You have told us that you already have proposed that yourselves. We know that you also presented that to the Standing Committee of Finance. You know, I ask whether it's warm, and I want to know whether you've seen what they have to propose as the ANC and whether it's close enough to what it is that you proposed.
Not really, Pamela. It's actually not necessary.
Yeah.
We agreed, as all the parties that voted for this fiscal framework, to submit their proposals directly to the minister and his budget team. So I've not really had sight of their proposals. I can only tell you about ours because we gave it to the minister, and we obviously expect to give the minister and his team an opportunity to absorb what we've given them and what ANC has submitted, what BOSA has submitted. In fact, I know, including COSAT, who also submitted a very compelling argument supporting to ensure that we can avert the situation of that coming into effect on the 1st of May.
I just want to be clear on something, because I think language has been changing a little bit, and maybe if I can get clarity from you. My understanding is that, earlier it came across as if, you are holding them to their word. But what I'm also hearing from Action SA is that you are saying that, well, the ANC committed to exploring revenue alternatives to what you're saying now. It went to Treasury. They're going to scrutinize that and see what will be workable. So am I to read from that the negotiations themselves will satisfy you if the explanation is that, well, thanks for your participation. It's not workable for these reasons. Can we still work together? Will that be acceptable for you?
No, totally unacceptable, because our own the submissions, over 110 billion rand, we're talking about 28 billion rand shortfall here. Mm. When we've given them out of this budget, 110 billion rand worth of proposals, I'm excluding what BOSA, what COSATU, what ANC themselves have looked at, for us it will be totally, totally unacceptable.
So if that does not work in your favor, you are saying you're going to stick
not
to your guns?
Not in my favor, because it's not about me.
I accept that.
It's about South Africa.
I accept that. But the Action SA has its own policy. What I'm saying is, as Action SA, in that case, you will then be decisive and not support them in the other upcoming money bills that will need to be passed.
Absolutely. And fortunate enough, Pimelo, please look at our statements ever since we accepted to engage. We made it very clear that we will only participate if there is no VAT and income tax bracket.
Mm.
There's two issues to the value of 28 billion rands. We said, as long as they are removed, and we are happy to work with you to ensure that we look at the alternatives. And the alternatives that we as XNSA have submitted, 110 billion. So you cannot really tell me that you can't get 28 billion rand from that 110. I think it's totally unacceptable.
Action SA leader, thank you so much.
And let me tell you something here. Mm. In this 110 billion rand that you submitted, does not include additional 8.8 billion rand that SARS has already over-collected. Mm. This does not include that. So basically, we are looking for 20 billion as we speak. So honestly, for anybody to tell us that they cannot find anything to bring in 20 billion rand out of what we've proposed, what BOSA has proposed, what COSATU has proposed, and also the ANC themselves, honestly, I think for us it's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Action SA leader, I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time there, Mr. Herman Mashaba there. As he says, he states it very clearly. Look, come what may, they do expect that there should be some movement here, and that, you know, we do not see this VAT hike. He says it will be unacceptable if there will be no change. So we'll wait. We'll wait and see. What is for certain, though, is that 1st of May, VAT is going up, but there are processes. So let's just be clear, there are processes, and they expect that the processes will kick in, and that everybody will align, and there will be no need for a VAT increase. So we'll have to come back to you on the processes. We, in fact, are planning an entire show on explaining what the processes are. It's not going to be easy to do that in the next 2 minutes, but I think what we do owe each other, because I think that has been the sticking point for many, many of us, is what the processes are and where the changes will take place, what is possible within the law, what is not possible within the law. So I think on Monday, we will give each other about 30 minutes to explain it all so that everybody understands what then happens on the 1st of May. And alongside all these other processes, the negotiations, what the expectations are, for instance, by people like Action SA, what the minister has committed to doing, all of that, and all the deadlines that are looming. So we'll have that explanation to you on Monday, 25 minutes after 8.
Point of View. Discussing the world around you. On the street. On the air. And at kaya959.co.za.
Well, let me just say this. We joined the Government of National Unity to be part of the jobs and growth agenda in the country, and it's very important that it's very clear that is why we joined. But it has to be done so on the basis of a genuine power sharing where all parties accept that none of us received a majority, none of us can get everything we want, but we all should be able to get some of what we want. And I think it is important that we find a way through this. We're certainly not just going to walk away from the GNU, but we also can't just remain in a situation where we are not privy to a genuine power-sharing relationship, given the fact that we do bring 22% of the vote to this, and we helped get President Ramaphosa elected. We're not the ones who went outside of the GNU. Not once, not ever, during the course of the last few weeks, has a Democratic Alliance met, spoken to, engaged with any single party outside of the Government of National Unity. Because we are committed to the Statement of Intent, we're committed to working together with GNU partners. Now, the same can't be said of the ANC. They went outside of the GNU to deal with parties that are not privy to the Statement of Intent. So if any party has defined itself outside of the GNU, it's not the Democratic Alliance, it's the African National Congress. What we now need to do is find a way through this particular impasse and find a situation where we can pass the budget. Now, a lot of people are under this false impression that what we voted on a week ago in Parliament was the budget. It wasn't. It was the fiscal framework. The budget still has to come to Parliament. And it's very important that we try before then to find each other, to agree that we have a power-sharing relationship, and agree on a common set of reforms that we're going to need to get the country moving forward. Because without those reforms, we're going to be back here fighting about how much tax has got to go up, how much cutting we've got to do, or how much we've got to borrow. And that's not the way to run a government.
On that point, what have discussions between the ANC and the DMA been like the last few days? And are there any meetings planned for the near future?
Well, during the course of the last week, we have exchanged a document with the ANC on the basis that there was a document that had been provided to us. We had responded. We're waiting to hear back from that particular document still. I note the press conference just given by the Secretary General of the African National Congress, in which he said they're going to be engaging with parties. We'll wait for the call. We think we've got a great plan to grow the economy and create jobs that is in line with the medium-term development plan and, in fact, in line with much of the things the ANC say they stand for. So we look forward to discussing that particular plan so that we can move forward to a situation where we can pass the budget later this month and into the next month, the DORA, the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, and all these other instruments of legislation. We were very consistent from the beginning about our position on VAT. It was no secret within the GNU. But again, I reiterate, we never once took that outside to speak to any other party to try and cajole them into voting with us in a particular way. The only people we consistently spoke to during this process were the parties within the Government of National Unity.
All right, that was the voice of John Steenhuisen responding directly to the press briefing that was given earlier on today by Phelan Balula, who's an ANC SG Secretary General. And we obviously had a conversation with the ANC spokesperson to clarify some matters. Now, on the line with us is Director of Research at Orwell Social Economic Research Institute, Angelo Fick, who obviously was listening to that audio courtesy of the SABC, by the way, and has been watching the developments for the past couple of weeks, I think, actually, because we've had a conversation with him. Mr. Fick, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and to your listeners.
Just maybe help me understand here. We've all heard the responses from both sides. Based on the fact that we still have, number one, the DA who's gone to court to clarify issues on the processes that were handled with the passing of the fiscal framework, they would want that whole process to be reassessed by the court. And the fact that we still have other money bills that needed to be passed, and what they're saying now, they seem steadfast that they are adamant they do not want to see this VAT hike. And it seems to me like they will not be supporting the ANC, therefore we will not be seeing them support the budget. What then do you think will that mean for their coalition arrangement with the ANC?
Well, that remains to be seen, because we're hearing the voice of John Steenhuisen saying that they will neither walk away from the GNU coalition easily or readily, or whatever the phrase was that he was using, nor will they support continued existence inside a coalition where they seem to have no power. Now, that sounds very much like a film that Meryl Streep did in 1982, which is kind of a Sophie's Choice. You're caught between which of these two choices that you don't want to make will you eventually have to make. So, you know, what I'm hearing from politicians on all sides in this particular moment is that they're not necessarily talking to one another. The salvos are being fired into the public domain so that they can generate op-eds in the public media. And also they're speaking to their own supporters about what their principled positions are. And that may not, or that may be what they're saying behind closed doors when talking to one another inside the GNU. That may not be what they're saying. So what I think many politicians and political parties at the moment have their eye on is how to use this particular moment in South Africa's coalition politics formation as late as early 2027. But they're not really focused only on this particular moment and its politics, that there's a longer game at play here. And there are new coalitions forming, and I think we've seen that at local government level with sometimes quite disastrous consequences. And the fear that many South Africans have is that these new alliances that aren't quite inside the coalition may signal the beginning of similar kinds of realignments in national government that will have far more dire consequences than they had even at local level.
What is the DA's action communicating to their constituency? Because to your point a little bit earlier, you know, there's on the one hand them saying that they're not going to be leaving the GNU easily. Sort of public knowledge that some of the other issues that they're unhappy about are Expropriation Act and the other policy issues that they've been complaining about, although they're not coming out clear on that, but it's sort of kind of public knowledge. How do you think all of this and how they're managing their dissatisfaction in this relationship is communicated to their constituency?
One imagines that the idea here is to institute the recommendations of the Leon Kutsir report after the local government elections, after the national government elections of 2019, which is that the party must return to its position as a liberal party and practice principled politics. And what we're hearing from Helen Ziller, what we're hearing from John Steenhuisen, is an attempt to articulate that they are in principle interested in remaining in the government of national unity, but for them there are some specific principles about how you go about doing so with partners in that particular relationship that they are unhappy with the ANC's handling of this. On the other hand, they're also, I think, keen to demonstrate that they can participate at national government level so that potential voters in 2029 perhaps can look at them as people who have served a term in government. So they've in a sense placed themselves in a really difficult position where they need to be seen as principled, so they need to oppose things that they really cannot support, while at the same time serving inside a national government that they want to be seen as part of over the longer term so that they can be seen as potential governors. And this particular test that they've given themselves is, I think, a hard test to pass if the other people in your coalition would be people as astute and as clever at politics as the African National Congress is. And I think that that's where very many political movements who are engaged with the African National Congress and have historically been engaged with them have underestimated this organization. We've seen what happened to the National Party when it went into a thing called the Government of National Unity with the African National Congress. Many of its supporters became so disillusioned with it that it ceased to exist within 10 years of having joined such a movement, even though they withdrew after 4 or 5 years. We've seen what happened to the Tripartite Alliance partners, the SACP and COSATU, as they were hooked into a relationship with the ANC, but had very little power over a variety of policy positions that their supporters were very unhappy with. The DA is trying to avoid that fate, but in doing so, it may be having to strike the postures that we last saw in Matrix films, dodging bullets, bending over backwards, trying to make statements that include multiple possibilities that are often mutually exclusive, as they do not make a decision, but posture that they will.
One assumes that they're not on the same page internally about the decisions they're making about on whether to stay within this coalition or not. And how do you think that's going to play itself out internally within the DA?
I don't think any of the parties currently in the GNU or any of the bigger parties in the GNU are necessarily internally in agreement with whether or not they should have been in this. We've certainly heard from people inside the African National Congress about their unhappiness of having to serve in a coalition government with the Democratic Alliance. Inside the DA, I think there are debates potentially about what are the costs and benefits of staying for much longer inside the GNU, and what are the costs and benefits of leaving. And given the corporate structure of the Democratic Alliance, my sense is that this would be unlikely to leak out in the way in which material leaked out of the ANC. Unhappiness with serving inside a coalition government with people that you see as ideological opponents. And I think the DA's, you know, to their credit, has managed the ability to keep some of that internal rancor very much internal. And that's partly because they kind of purged a lot of their unhappy people long before they went into this GNU. Let's not forget that a whole series of disaffected people left the Democratic Alliance long before the elections of 2024. And so this is about internal house management. And I can't imagine that there isn't debate, dissent, and argumentation inside the DA. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it is healthy for there to be debate inside internal to political parties on these kinds of policy questions and coalition arrangements. Whether or not that's being done in a democratic way will only be shown by history once we start seeing documents coming out, as we do a history of the Democratic Alliance in this particular phase of its incarnation.
And the Action SA, I mean, they're really making moves here. Are they going to be kingmakers? Do you think they're going to come out of this victorious?
Well, victorious is relative in politics. We've often had in South Africa people claiming obvious defeats as victories and claiming moral victories when they've suffered electoral defeats. Action SA, of course, is, you know, part of the coalition formation at local government level in Tshwane that saw the removal of a Democratic Alliance mayor. How that, you know, may have caused rancor between particular members of the DA at the local government level and their national figures who went into a coalition with the party that struck them out, and the history of the DA having put Herman Mashaba into the Johannesburg mayorship as a DA member, and the since disaffection between the Democratic Alliance and Herman Mashaba and other figures inside Action SA is part of the mix here. But my sense is that a party like Action SA, which in some senses should also be thinking like a party like the PA, may have short-term gains in these coalition arrangements and agreements, but they may have longer-term survival consequences that they would have to face. And here one thinks of now defunct parties like the Minority Front and others who very quickly maneuvered themselves into favor with bigger parties, but their supporters support them for very specific and narrow reasons that are often lost in these relationships with larger parties. And that's partly, I think, what Helen Zille is signaling at when she suggests that the smaller parties who are thinking of going into a new kind of GNU with the ANC to get them to 50 plus may have to think about what they would have to give up. But the ANC would also have to think about how they're going to manage a very, very unwieldy broad coalition if they're already having difficulty, or they may think they don't have difficulty with handling a party that brings, as John Steenhuisen pointed out, nearly a fifth of the electorate that voted in 2024 as supporters. And so coalition politics is often messy globally. We've seen in places like Germany and Belgium and even in the Netherlands, coalitions collapsing because of unhappiness with the way in which things run. If this coalition does collapse, how it reconstitutes itself or whether or not the ANC chooses to go into a minority government, that remains to be seen. But I suspect at the moment people are doing political posturing in order to score rhetorical points, but they're not necessarily at the point where they're breaking down and walking away from one another.
Because one wonders, you know, if the DA does not support them with the subsequent money bills and Action SA doesn't, where does that leave the ANC?
Yes, that does leave a question about whether or not any other kinds of policies can be passed and whether or not we have policy stasis.
Yeah.
And again, there are states on the planet that actually have functioned quite well, you know, with policy stasis because they have effective civil services that deliver the work of government on existing principles. But there's just no new legislation and no new legislative development. In South Africa, we can't really afford to have such a period because there is so much work that has to be done around undoing inequities of the past, causing new forms of redress to be brought into being. And there are multiple crises the country faces, which will require legislative intervention, not least the climate catastrophe, energy insecurity, water insecurity. And if the ANC is in control, of a coalition that's stable and can vote things through, then there's a possibility that such legislation and the actions that follow them may happen. If you don't have a stable government, if you have a government of partners that move in and out of the coalition with you, what you sit with is the problems you are already trying to address, what the ANC at one point called the 10 wasted years, or the 8 wasted years, or the 12 wasted years, depending on what time frame you're using. That will not be addressed. And then emerging and newer crises will also not be addressed. And that, I think, will have knock-on effects at the regional, but particularly at local government level, because if the national coalitions are at risk, then we can imagine that so many of those local government coalitions and municipalities might be equally at risk. And here, I think, there's a lot of gamesmanship and brinksmanship being played by the politicians, waiting for somebody to blink fast. My sense is listening to them. The ANC wants the DA to walk away so they can go see they can't stay the course for difficult work. And the DA wants the ANC to kick them out. So exactly. The ANC say, these people can't work with us. I think it's one of those situations. I want you to kick me off the team, exactly. And I want you to quit the team.
Exactly. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for that. Director of Research at Orwell Social Economic Research Institute, Angela Fick. Thank you so much for your take.
Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we do it. To download the Point of View podcast.